Imagine building nine separate software products.
Wow, that's a lot.
Yeah, writing over 20,000 lines of complex astrological logic and launching a highly profitable app, all by yourself.
In just a few months, right?
Exactly. That is what one solo developer actually did using AI. But, here's the crazy part. Their biggest struggle wasn't writing the code.
No.
No, it was getting the AI to stop acting like a golden retriever.
I mean, it's a completely surreal problem to have. You have this incredibly powerful autonomous execution engine, right?
Right.
And it can instantly process thousands of data points, but it completely falls flat on its face because it just desperately wants the user to like it.
Yeah, that dynamic is exactly what we are getting into today on this deep dive.
It's going to be a fascinating one.
We are unpacking a brutally honest postmortem from a developer who really lived in the trenches of this new era. The source is this blog post titled, "What I Learned Shipping a Real Product as a Solo AI Augmented Developer."
Which details the creation of PanPanMao.
Right, Pen Pen Mao. And just for some context for you listening, Pen Pen Mao isn't just like a simple checklist app.
Oh, not at all.
It's a massive multi-vertical application. It features Bazzi calculations, tarot card readings, dream interpretations, and again, built entirely by one person orchestrating an AI.
The sheer scale is really what makes this a masterclass. I mean, we are looking at a system with over 1,000 commits.
Over 1,000 and 109 pull requests, right?
Exactly, across nine fundamentally different product verticals, complete with intricate cultural logic. But, the mission of this deep dive isn't just to marvel at another AI is magic story.
Far from it. We want to show you the actual unvarnished reality of the solo AI augmented builder.
Like, what does AI actually excel at? And where does it just completely fail?
And most importantly, what does this mean for you? Because whether you're managing complex projects, building software, or just trying to navigate what the future of work looks like, the bottlenecks have shifted.
They absolutely have. And we should probably start with the biggest assumption people make about AI.
Yep.
The idea that it's just this magic box of instant expertise.
Oh, right. So the developer actually tested a very specific hypothesis early on. They wanted to know, can an AI completely bridge a massive domain knowledge gap?
Right. Like, say you know absolutely nothing about the complex mechanics of ancient Chinese fortune telling. Can the AI just be your resident expert and handle it?
Okay, let's unpack this because on paper, the AI totally pulled it off.
It really did.
The numbers in the source are just wild. I mean, the AI successfully implemented 20,000 lines of Bazzi calculation logic.
It categorized over 1,000 culturally nuanced dream symbols.
Yeah, and it built 78 tarot card frameworks, plus an annual stars mapping system that passed 162 specific domain tests.
Which is staggering. Actual Bazzi practitioners even looked at the app and confirmed the calculations were totally correct.
So it looks like the ultimate validation of the hype, right? You plug in a prompt, you get ancient expertise.
But the reality of how the developer got those 20,000 lines of code changes everything about how we understand human-AI collaboration.
Right, because they couldn't just open a prompt window and type, hey, write the code for a Bazzi calculator.
No, when they tried that, the system completely choked.
It's like hiring the world's fastest, most energetic construction crew who has never actually seen a house.
That's a great analogy.
You can't just point at an empty lot and say, build me a house. They're just going to stack bricks into a giant unlivable cube.
Right, you still have to draw the exact blueprints.
Exactly. You have to explain what a door is and, why a load-bearing wall matters.
And that perfectly describes the methodology this developer had to invent. They spent days just asking Claude to explain the concepts.
Not writing a single line of code yet.
Not one. Because Bazzi is a highly complex astrological system based on your birth date and time. It relies on something called a Daymaster.
Which is essentially your core elemental sign, right? Like
Right.
wood or fire.
Exactly. So when the developer just broadly asked the AI, how does Bazzi work? It just spit out a shallow, generic Wikipedia summary.
Which isn't actionable at all for building software.
Not at all. So they had to get painfully specific. They had to ask things like, what are the specific five elements interaction rules that determine if a Daymaster is strong or weak?
And that is what finally yielded implementable structural logic.
Yes, the AI had the raw data, but it didn't know how to structure it into software.
Okay, but hold on, I have to push back on this a little bit.
Go for it.
If you, the human, still have to sit down and rigorously study the mechanics of Bazzi or tarot just to know what questions to ask, I mean, aren't you just doing the heavy lifting anyway?
That's a fair question.
Why bother with the AI if you have to become an amateur astrologer first?
Well, the developer actually addresses that exact friction with a really brilliant observation. They wrote, "Zero knowledge is possible. Zero curiosity is not."
Oh, okay.
The AI provides the raw information and types the code at lightning speed. But the human must establish the correct level of abstraction.
So if you don't have enough curiosity to build a mental model of the domain in your own head, you're stuck.
Completely stuck.
Yeah.
You don't know how to architect the software. You just end up building a fancy, shallow calculator.
The AI accelerates the learning curve, but the human has to structure the understanding. I like that.
You don't need to memorize all the ancient formulas, but you have to understand the architecture of those formulas.
Okay, I buy that. So the human builds the mental model. The AI perfectly executes the complex math. The traditional practitioners bless the accuracy, and they launch the app.
Yep.
Users should be thrilled.
They really weren't.
Oh, right.
In fact, user feedback highlighted a massive fatal flaw in the product.
Wow.
The math was flawless, like we said, but the user experience felt completely hollow.
And this is where we get back to the golden retriever problem.
Okay.
The AI was perfectly calculating these astrological charts, but its personality was what the developer called TFAXing.
Right, the people-pleasing tone.
Yeah, people-pleasing. It told every single user that they were going to be wildly successful. Your health, perfect.
Your relationships, fairy tale romances across the board.
But if you understand the cultural context of fortune telling, you see immediately why this destroys trust.
Authentic fortune tellers don't just deliver good news. They provide necessary warnings.
Right. For example, in Chinese astrology, there's a concept called Tai Sui.
Which is roughly like a cosmic audit, right?
Yeah, exactly. It's a specific year where the astrological energy is in conflict with your birth year. It indicates turbulence.
So a real practitioner will explicitly warn you when you're clashing with Tai Sui.
Because delivering hard truths is how they establish authority and honesty. That's the foundation of trust in that domain.
Imagine going to a serious medical specialist for a health checkup, and the doctor just desperately wants to be your best friend.
Oh, man. They look at your chart and say, wow, your cholesterol is amazing. Have a lollipop. You look great.
You would immediately know they were a terrible doctor.
You would. But here's what I don't get. Why was fixing this tone issue harder for the developer than writing 20,000 lines of complex ancient Chinese astrological logic?
What's fascinating here is that it exposes a fundamental limitation of large language models. AI lacks inherent emotional intelligence.
It can do the math, but it cannot read the room.
Exactly. It doesn't intuitively understand the subtle human balance between honesty, empathy, and authority.
So how did they fix it?
The developer had to painstakingly go through 6 different product domains and manually force the AI's tone from a mixed analysis setting to neutral to negative.
Wait, really? They literally had to order the AI to be meaner?
Essentially, yes. They had to explicitly instruct it to deliver direct health warnings and to provide what they call huaji feng an, which are mitigation strategies.
Wow.
The key takeaway here is that AI is excellent at absorbing domain knowledge, but it is completely blind to domain culture.
Because culture is nuanced. It requires an understanding of human expectations and psychology.
And since the AI is blind to that, the developer had to spend an exhausting amount of time just calibrating the tone through manual prompt engineering.
Which forces a really uncomfortable realization for anyone building products right now.
Oh, absolutely.
The AI solved the hardest technical challenges in seconds. But because it lacks that human psychology, the biggest hurdles on this project were purely product and design decisions.
The bottleneck wasn't the engineering. It was the product sense.
That completely flips the traditional script. When an AI can write 97% of your code base, your ability to type syntax is no longer your primary value.
Not at all. And the source gives some incredible visual examples of this. Take the landing page iterations.
Oh, the landing pages.
The developer started with this warm brown and gold color palette, thinking it would feel cozy and approachable for users seeking guidance.
But users looked at it and thought it was a kids' learning app.
The AI didn't catch that. It just built the brown and gold site it was told to build.
Right. So then the developer pivoted to a super clean, minimal design. White space, sleek fonts.
But then users felt it was cold, like a sterile tech demo, not a mystical reading.
Finally, they went with a dark luxury theme, deep blacks, rich gold accents, and featured the app's mascot, Pampanmao the cat, as a mysterious oracle.
And suddenly, users were reporting that the app felt trustworthy and professional.
three complete redesigns just to solve a positioning problem, and the exact same psychological maneuvering had to be applied to their monetization strategy.
Oh, the pricing psychology is my absolute favorite detail in this entire deep dive.
Same here. So they had to figure out what to call the digital currency users buy to unlock readings.
And standard tech logic dictates you call them tokens or credits.
But they changed the currency name to Xingyugan, which translates to dried fish treats.
It's brilliant because it completely shifts the user's mental model of the transaction.
Think about it. You're interacting with an app called PenPenMao, and Mao means cat.
Right.
By calling them dried fish treats, you are no longer experiencing the psychological pain of spending digital tokens.
You are feeding treats to the mystical cat that is giving you a reading.
It's so absurd, but it dramatically reduced the friction of spending.
It really makes you realize how much time we spend agonizing over the underlying tech in our products when the real barrier to success is usually just navigating human emotion.
Oh, totally. And you see that same emotional navigation in how they handled user referrals.
Yes, the referrals. Initially, they set up an asymmetric reward system. The person referring a friend got 10 treats, and the new user got 3.
Which mathematically makes sense to reward the promoter.
But psychologically, users felt it was extractive. It felt like they were monetizing their friends.
Nobody wants to be that guy spamming their contacts for a kickback.
Exactly. So the developer shifted it to a symmetric 5-and-5 split.
The math isn't radically different for the company.
But the emotion is completely transformed.
Mm-hmm.
Sharing suddenly felt like giving a gift. Referral volume spiked.
They also had to meticulously design the upgrade triggers, you know, the moments the app actually asks you to pay.
Right, because timing is everything.
They built 7 different contextual triggers based on the user's emotional state. If you run out of credits right in the middle of an intense tarot reading, that is a highly sensitive emotional moment.
You can't just pop up a giant generic BUY now banner.
No.
Yeah.
Plus, they added a strict 24-hour cooldown so users didn't feel harassed.
The AI doesn't know what harassed feels like.
Oh, it would gladly ask you for money every 3 seconds if the code allowed it.
And that is the crucial insight of this entire section. AI can write the vast majority of the back-end infrastructure, but it cannot iterate on positioning or pricing psychology or emotional timing.
Polish comes after product market fit.
Yes. The developer notes that architectural perfection, like having the cleanest code or the best test coverage, was something they actually overestimated in importance.
The real challenge, the thing that actually made the app successful, was figuring out what humans actually want.
Defining product market fit is still a strictly human endeavor.
Okay, so the human is playing psychologist, doing all the product positioning, and setting the exact right level of abstraction.
Right.
What are they actually doing at the keyboard? What does the day-to-day collaboration between the human and the AI look like in the trenches?
It's not just the human sitting back and dictating, if that's what you mean.
That's what a lot of people picture.
Well, the source outlines a grueling, highly specific, 6-step agentic workflow. Architect, prompt, review, prompt engineer, test, and course correct.
Let's linger on that review step, because it doesn't just mean glancing at the output.
No, it means reviewing every single line of code the AI generates.
Because the AI will hallucinate.
It will confidently import React packages that simply do not exist. It will invent API methods.
So the course correct step isn't just hitting a regenerate button.
Exactly. The human has to isolate why the AI hallucinated, adjust the system prompt, feed it the correct documentation, and run the whole loop again.
But when the AI gets it right, I mean, it is an absolute monster at execution.
Oh, yeah. The source mentions a moment where the AI flawlessly applied a complex streaming response pattern across 15 different endpoints simultaneously.
And in another instance, it mechanically refactored 20 files without a single error.
Humans get bored doing that kind of repetitive work. We lose focus.
We miss a comma.
The AI doesn't.
But because humans do get bored, and because this was a solo developer with no human team to double-check their logic, they had to rely entirely on automated systems to act as their coworkers.
They heavily utilized continuous integration, or CI.
This is basically hiring a digital proofreader who stands over the AI's shoulder 24/7 with a red pen.
That's a great way to put it. They used TypeScript, strict mode, and wrote over 2,000 automated tests.
Wow.
They even had to build custom hooks that block the AI agents from going idle with uncommitted changes just to keep the workflow from completely derailing when the developer stepped away.
They literally had to put a leash on the machine.
They did.
But here's where it gets really interesting. The craziest technical hurdle they faced, the thing that forced them to build a highly complex dual architecture system, was navigating compliance in the Chinese market.
Oh, right. Operating in that specific market requires strict adherence to regulations like the interim measures for generative AI.
It's a challenging environment for any app, but especially for an AI generating unscripted text.
Yeah, absolutely. So to handle this, the developer built a dual architecture content filter.
They implemented an incredibly aggressive input filter to catch any prompt that contained truly sensitive or illegal content.
But, and this is the wild part, they had to build a significantly relaxed output filter.
Why relaxed?
The mechanism behind why they had to do that is fascinating. Think about the core function of a fortune-telling app.
Okay, users are asking about their future careers, their finances, or their health.
So the AI naturally generates a reading using words like Jindy, which means part-time job, or Zopin, which means recruitment.
Or if the user asks about health, the AI might suggest they relax and go to a sauna.
Right. But a blunt standard AI safety filter doesn't understand the context of a fortune reading.
Oh, I see.
It just scans the generated text, sees words like recruitment, part-time job, and sauna, and immediately flags the output as a spam advertisement or illicit content.
The AI's own safety system was censoring its legitimate outputs because predicting someone's job sounded like a spam email.
Exactly. So the solo developer had to engineer this complex bypass system just to let the app function.
Hearing all of this, the dual filters, the 2,000 automated tests, the constant prompt engineering to fix the tone, I have to be honest, it sounds exhausting.
It does.
People hear 97% AI-generated code, and they picture a developer sitting on a beach while the laptop does all the work.
Wasn't this actually more exhausting than traditional coding in some ways?
The developer makes that exact point in the postmortem. Having 97% of your code generated by AI does not mean you are doing 97% less work.
It simply means you are doing 97% less typing.
Precisely. You trade the labor of syntax for the labor of architecture. You become a manager of a highly capable but highly literal machine. But when you build the architecture correctly, you unlock a massive compounding effect.
You really do. By the time this developer hit their ninth product vertical, the foundation was so solid that the AI could just mechanically snap new features into place.
The compounding speed is staggering. The source notes that on a single day in February, this solo developer shipped three entirely new software products.
A child naming service, a compatibility analysis tool, and an annual forecast.
Three products, one day, one human.
Which brings us to the grand meta lesson of the Pan-Pan Mao story. The era of the solo AI augmented builder is absolutely here.
But the developer argues that augmented is the wrong word entirely.
Right, because it implies the AI is just a little helper supplementing the human's main work.
The reality is a total restructuring of the job description.
Based on their breakdown, the human was the product person, meaning 100% responsible for positioning, pricing psychology, and tone.
The human was the architect, 90% responsible for system design and data models.
And the human was the code reviewer, 100% responsible for checking the logic.
Meanwhile, the AI was the execution engine, doing 95% of the actual coding and refactoring.
And it was the domain expert, holding 100% of the astrological and cultural knowledge within its parameters, just waiting for the right prompt.
We used to think a minimum viable team for a tech startup was, what, 5 engineers, a product manager, and a designer?
Yeah, something like that. Now that entire team has collapsed into one engineer with good taste and access to an LLM.
That is the direct application for you listening today, regardless of your industry.
The winners of the future economy aren't going to be the fastest typists or the people who memorize the most syntax.
The winners will be the best architects, the most critical reviewers, and above all, the people who know how to ask the sharpest questions.
Exactly.
And that leaves us with a final, slightly provocative thought for you to mull over as you go about your day.
Let's hear it.
We used to highly value the people who knew how to physically lay the bricks of the code. But if AI eventually levels the playing field so perfectly that everyone has access to a flawless instant execution engine, well, then execution itself is no longer a competitive advantage.
That's a profound shift.
It is. In a world where anyone can build the software instantly, does human taste, empathy, and the ability to truly understand another person's psychological needs become the only skills that actually hold financial value?